Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 253 of Cospod Podcast for all things cosplay. Yay!
Very tired, EA. Paola's very tired.
Amber is on the other end of the spectrum. Amber is super hype at the moment. Probably because I did nothing today, and it was awesome.
That's usually the best, is when you have nothing going on. Then it's like, a good relaxing time.
In fact, I couldn't even sleep in. My body had that much energy, and it was not for lack of trying to sleep in.
That sounds about right.
I tried really hard, and I'm going to try hard again tomorrow. Darn birds waking me up at 3 a.m.
There you go. Stupid birds.
But we're not here to talk about birds. We're here to talk about cosplay.
Sure.
So let's get into cosplay updates.
What have you got to share, Amber? Do you have a pile of stuff?
I do have a pile of stuff, but it's not fabric.
Aw. I'm only slightly disappointed.
Well, I mean, there is fabric as part of it, but the pile itself is not fabric. So you guys remember the Athena necklace that, you know, bends 90 degrees and it's not supposed to? Well, I have now replaced it.
Ta-da!
And you can see it's pretty identical. The only difference, which you may not be able to see, is that the new one is textured.
No, you can see it. You can see there's texture on it.
Yes, and the reason for that is, speaking of the pile of fabric, I had to take Yaya's lovely four-way, you know, stretch spandex, which that's not a good piece. Here we go. Stretch spandex.
There we go.
Stretchy, 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 stretchy. And I had to trace all of the shapes and cut it out of this and then glue it on top of the existing foam shapes. And the reason I did that is because Amber is trying not to buy more things, which means I recycled the existing decor pieces from last time that are still cracked underneath the fabric. The foam is cracked, but you won't see it because it's underneath the thick fabric. And so I took every one of these little decor pieces and had to cut out from fabric and then glue it on top so that it, you know, ends up like this and it's nice and shiny and pretty and textured. So I'm very happy with that. And you can see I've got, you know, the bracelets in progress, mm-hmm. which the backs are not painted. So they're a very bright yellow foam, but, you know, this is what I had on hand so that I didn't have to buy more fabric. And the pile of things is that I've got all the little pieces that go on them. Here's my other little decor pieces that go on, the bracelets. I've got the grand pile. The grand pile of all the little decor pieces.
So much gold.
All of her accessories are gold. I don't make the rules. I'm just driving the plow.
She really likes the gold.
So I spent all of my time cutting out a lot of gold, and this is the last of that spandex that I bought. Hilariously, it was only 7/8 of a yard.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because it was a remnant in the bin, which means it was on sale for 50% off, which, given the price of that fabric, was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I had only gotten it to try it out. I didn't plan on using it for an entire cosplay, but I had enough, and I have cut my pieces intelligently enough, and I didn't have as much to worry about with a nap on the fabric.
Yeah,
because you can cut it pretty much on any bias,
and you'll be fine.
Same. So I have very carefully used up pretty much all except what I held up. This is all that remains of the 7/8 of a yard. This is it.
Nice.
All of the rest of it is used up now, and I had just enough to cover all of the accessories.
Awesome.
The only piece I have not covered yet is her barrette, her hair barrette.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it is actually in storage right now. So I have to go pull it out of its costume box because that's the one piece that I did not replace for the new Athena. Because her barrette, her little hair piece is the same.
Mm.
All the other ones are more elaborate. But that one I could leave alone, so I left it in storage. So I will pull that out and then I will use that remnant and I will cover it up. And so that's going to be all sorts of fun. Also, I will tell you, if you end up buying her four-way stretch spandex, it dulls your scissors like nobody's business. I had to keep my little scissor sharpener handy. Every few pieces, I had to sharpen again because that stuff just dulls your scissors so freaking fast, even fabric scissors. In fact, I was using my little micro-tip shears at some points. And I had to sharpen these, and these shouldn't have to be sharpened.
Okay.
But no.
How old are the scissors? That's the first question.
They are old, but have not been used.
Define have not been used.
My micro-tip scissors, I think I have used maybe a dozen times since I bought them 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
My fabric shears, which are the second of the pair of these two, because they come in a pair of two, those I have used much more extensively.
Okay.
And those I expect to have to sharpen, but not the micro-tip shears.
Yeah, because I have noticed, because I've cut into that fabric before multiple times, and I've done it with brand new shears, and I didn't have a problem, but the shears that I've had that were like several years old and were starting to get dull, like, yeah, I did have to sharpen them afterward. I mean, but yeah, that
my,
I understood.
My dressmaker shears, yes. Mm-hmm. I had to sharpen those several times.
That makes sense.
But I didn't think I'd have to sharpen the micro-tip shears.
Yeah, but once if you get something like fresh out of the box and it's a new shears and you've only used them like a handful of times, like a dozen times, you should be fine. There shouldn't be a need for it.
Yeah, I think it's just the sheer number of things I cut.
Yeah, it adds up real fast.
Literally, my scrap pile looks like this from
nice.
All the cutting I did. And I save all the scraps just because some of the pieces are literally so tiny. Like, these pieces right here are so tiny that I can cut them out of scrap and save. And so I'm really trying to use every piece of fabric I have. Now, the other cosplay thing I have has not actually arrived yet. I have gotten a text telling me it's on the way. I ended up spending my birthday money at Joanne's. Hooray, plus one Wiz, plus one in Amber.
Mm-hmm.
And what I ended up getting, along with some Jacquard paint refills, because I need those, is I ended up getting a bunch of molds.
Okay.
And I know that doesn't sound very interesting.
No, it can be very interesting.
But I was actually searching Joanne's website because I had wanted to see if they had some cool molds I could use for my prop making, among other things. So I got a couple of decor molds for myself. But they now have a bunch of almost Greco-Italian looking molds
mm-hmm.
that are very decorative. They're mm-hmm. very filigree-esque. And so I ended up getting a couple of those so that I could use it to kind of embellish some of my prop work, like the Athena staff that's going to go with this costume. I don't have anything flexible to cast in them yet. In other words, like latex or rubber, something so that they won't shatter if bent,
right.
like the rest of my accessories. So I will eventually have to get some casting material
mm-hmm.
that I can put a really thin layer of on the inside. But the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, the potters, as I was looking at these, is that Joanne's has also gotten in some amazing looking steampunk molds.
Hmm.
They're by the same company that did the Greco-Italian molds that I ended up purchasing. But they have all sorts of cogwheels and wings and keys and
oh,
mechanical
neat.
Parts. They've even got a mold that's full clocks. Like full, like miniaturized clocks, the whole thing.
Nice.
So for anybody wanting to do steampunk cosplay, because I know that's still a thing, you might want to have a look when they run sales on their molds, because those look amazing and they're reusable because
mm-hmm.
they're all silicone. And I love reusable things. So if you're looking for any sort of like jewelry components or molds where you can make filigree pieces to kind of embellish some of your accessories and props, have a look at their selection. It's really cool. I didn't realize they had so many.
They've been expanding.
They have. Well, they've also been shrinking on some other things that they
yeah.
carry. So it's just rotating in and out. But I thought that was really neat, since normally the only steampunk type things that they would carry are maybe a couple of pre-made jewelry items
mm-hmm.
and then a couple of things in their scrapbooking section. And that was usually pretty much it. Now you can just make your own, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
So, the box has not arrived yet. I may do an unboxing for you guys.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
When it does arrive, you know, fingers crossed that I am alerted when it's on my doorstep and not in someone's hands. So I am waiting for that to arrive. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
it's warm enough now that I can go outside and easily do some casting work.
Exactly. You got some chance to do some testing.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's not raining,
Right.
we're good.
Well, that'll be cool.
Yep. So, my hands hurt now. Thankfully, did not cut myself, did not
Yay.
lose anything. I'm okay. Just fingers are very tired from having to
From
cut
all that
so many
snip
tiny parts. Oh, yeah.
snip.
This wasn't even manicure scissors this time. The manicure scissors, I did try them. They were not sharp
They
enough.
were not sharp enough for this
And I
mess.
cannot sharpen them easily. So, more tiny, tiny filigree and template work for Amber.
Per usual.
It's the first costume where I will have actually embellished. None of my other cosplays have been like this. Everything else is very,
I'm so proud of her.
square. Like very much accurate to the, movie, book, anime, whatever it came from. This will be the first one where I'm kind of going outside the box to fan art, because technically it is an art book version.
I'm so proud of her. It's like she watched my panel and learned.
Many panels.
Oh, goodness.
Your turn.
I have nothing to share because Val has had a very bad month and had a very bad car accident that her whole car was totaled very recently. I am fine. Everybody else is fine. But I've had very many big life things that I have had to handle in the meantime, so I have not had any time for cosplay. The last costume is packed up, which you can kind of see here in
I
the
was going to
corner.
say, is that a garment bag that it's in?
It's in a garment bag and it's stuck on my
Okay.
dress form because I like to use my dress form as a storage case instead of actually putting it in one of the closets behind me because that's what I do. But it'll eventually migrate to the closet when I feel like doing it and I have the mental capacity to handle it.
Is the backpack with it or is
Yes.
it elsewhere? Okay.
It's everything is stashed into this garment bag. You can't, at least for the
Ah.
Potters, they can't really see it. They just see like a small sliver of it, but everything is squished
Right.
in through there, nice and comfy, and it's ready and ready to go. I just gotta slap it in the closet. But yeah, life has been a little rough and a little hectic, so I haven't been doing much cosplay wise. There's been a little sewing. That's about it. Other things are more important.
I know if the Potters are interested in seeing more about how to store cosplays, after conventions and taking care of your cosplays and such, we actually have a whole panel on that, or not a panel, an episode on that. And you guys can go through our voluminous archive and watch it.
Volumes is a nice word for it.
I mean, we've been around for 10 years, so you have 10 years worth of episodes that you can gleefully go back and watch, although I have many reservations about calling seasons one and two gleeful.
Are they technically on our YouTube channel? Hang on. I think that they are. They should be. I think so, because I remember episode
I want
7 being up
to
there. I'm pretty sure that they are. And unfortunately, YouTube makes it a little difficult to actually navigate to our channel when I'm trying to stream from it at the same time. Hi, everybody.
Yeah,
Hello.
please don't watch our early episodes if you can help it.
Start with episode 50. There's a reason.
There you go. Yes, we put them up there for posterity's
Oh.
sake so that you guys can watch them and still get the information. The information's still good. Just we were very
New.
novice at podcasting at that point.
But you know what? Every podcast is like that, regardless of how many years you've been doing it or how many podcasts you've run, whether it's your first one or your 50th. Like the first couple of episodes are always a little questionable because you're trying to figure out, what the rhythm is, what the style is going to be. And you will see, like, over time or listen, depending on the type of format that it is, like, how much they change and alter to fit whatever that style is. Because ours definitely changed
Oh, yeah.
several times.
Indeed. And with everyone going back to the office, well, now you can make your commute a little less unpleasant by putting our show on in the background.
There we go.
On audio only, if you are the one driving,
Yes.
preferably.
And we do have
Please
audio
disclaim.
version.
We do.
I render it every time.
Indeed, and of course you can find us on any, major podcasting platform at this point, so you can download it via the method
Everywhere.
of your choice.
Literally everywhere. I can confirm this because I set up half of them.
For those that don't kick us off.
So far, we're good everywhere. We have had no problems. Everything is gravy. Apple, please don't delete our account randomly again. That was horrible. That was just, ugh.
All right. Speaking of making your commute more comfortable, why don't we go ahead and get into today's tutorial so
Yeah.
people can have it for their listening pleasure?
Go for it. What is our tutorial, Amber?
Our tutorial today is on reading a pattern envelope. This was actually a request to us, and so we wanted to go ahead and present it to you guys so that it's a little bit less puzzling, because I know that, sometimes pattern envelopes can very much seem like a language that you don't speak. There's a lot of technical indicators in there. There's a lot of, very specific vocabulary for sewing. Sometimes they can be a little discomforting to read, and so we made it easier for you. So, enjoy.
Hey Potters, Amber here, and we actually had a request for a tutorial on how to read pattern envelopes. So I've got three patterns that I brought out of my voluminous collection, and honestly, there's not too much difference in between patterns. Like, for example, this one is Simplicity, as you can see. This one is by New Look, and this larger one is actually back when McCall's actually still had cosplay by McCall's. This is what the patterns look like, and you can see it's actually, markedly larger than the standard envelopes, but I brought these out to show you that the backs of the envelopes are pretty much, you can see, pretty similar. And so whenever you go and buy a commercial pattern from the local retailer, that they're all pretty much going to be the same. So here's your pattern envelope, and there are a couple things on the front that you're going to want to notice immediately. The first one is that here, you can see in the lower corner, there are actually letters. And the letters specify which pieces of the pattern that that particular look is using. So you can see this one actually has ABC and ABD, which means there are at least four pieces, ABCD, that are used in these looks. So when I look on the back, there will be at least four different pieces that I will be able to make if I purchase this pattern. The second thing that you should notice are these letters right here. And they correspond with a size range. This particular envelope has US and Euro sizes. So if you buy patterns in other parts of the world, these sizes listed here may be slightly different, but whenever you buy patterns at your local retailer, usually there are two size ranges. There will be a smaller one, and then there will be a larger one. And the smaller ones are usually marked either with A or double A, so AA, and then the larger ones are marked with B or double B. So you can see, for example, the New Look envelope I have has an A, and that's because this is a smaller size range. So in other words, this has sizes 4 to 16, whereas this one would be 20 to 28. But this has simply larger sizes in its size range, which is why it's double B. So those are the two things that you'll notice on the front of the envelope. The back of the envelope is actually the part that's going to be much more helpful to you. And the very first thing that you will probably look at when you go to buy envelopes, regardless of what's on the back, the very first thing you're probably going to look at is the size. And this works for both women and men. So whenever you're looking at this chart, you'll have three different measurements. You'll have bust, waist, hip. And this is for, like I said, men and women, and of course, all conceivable coordinates in between. And you're going to match up your measurements to these numbers here, and whichever column your measurements fall under is the size that you will purchase. For example, if my measurements were 40 inches at the bust, 32 inches at the waist, and 42 inches at the hip, then that's going to be a size 18. And in European, that would be a size 44. These are going to be in inches here in the United States, generally. If you purchase this pattern elsewhere, these measurements may actually end up being in centimeters. And this is actually labeled as inches, and so of course your pattern should, I say should with an asterisk, specify the units of measure here if it's not inches. So the first thing you'll do is check for your size. Well, biggest question is, well, what happens if I have measurements that kind of zigzag all over the place and don't all fall in one column? There are two things that you could do. My recommendation is that you take whichever of the sizes is the largest, because with any sort of fabric, you can always cut down. You can't really add more. The other thing that you could do is you could actually purchase this envelope in multiple sizes. So if you end up having sizes here, that are outside of the range, because remember, these come in a range of sizes. This one is 20 to 28. So if you have one of your measurements that falls in, say, 18, you would need to get this edition as well as the AA edition. And then you would cut the pattern pieces that match up to your size. Even if your measurements fall in different columns, as long as it's within the same range that this envelope covers, you can cut the different pieces, so I can cut the pieces that correspond to my bust in whichever size is correspondent to my measurements. And then I can cut my waist in a different size if I want to, and I can cut the pieces that correspond to the hips, so pants or skirt or something similar to that, I can cut those to my measurement as well. And they don't all have to be the same size. That's okay. That is what you can do if you happen to be a range of sizes that is not exactly covered by this. The next thing that you'll notice is this section right here at the top specifies all of the different fabrics that you can use with this pattern. Now, these are the recommended fabrics. You don't necessarily even have to use these that are listed here. You can use any fabric that you want. However, the reason that these are recommended is that patterns like this have certain seam allowances built in, and they have certain adjustments that are built into it based on certain types of fabrics, because as we know, knits tend to stretch. Non-wovens don't stretch. And so if you use a different fabric than these that are listed up here as recommended, then unfortunately, you may have some unexpected results with your pattern. You'll see this nice bar right here at the top, and you can see there's an arrow actually pointing here, as well as an arrow pointing here. This particular bar is if you happen to use knits. What you would do is you would take a swatch and you can stretch it up to the end of this lighter bar. And that means that it is a fabric that can be used with this pattern. So basically you're measuring the amount of stretch in the particular knit that you're choosing to use this pattern on. And not all knits are equal. Some of them will stretch more than others. And so you'll want to see that your knit has enough stretch to be able to be used with this pattern as intended. The next thing that you'll want to do, and that's as you're having this pattern ideally with you at the store, or take a picture of the back of it and take it with you, is this section right here. This is going to tell you how much fabric you need for each of the pieces that you can make with this pattern. You'll say, well, what are these measurements? Why is it 45 and 60 only? My measurements don't match that. These are actually the widths of the fabric. When you go to buy fabric on a bolt, when you turn, we'll say if this is a bolt of fabric that I'm holding in my hands right now, it's a very small bolt. On the bottom edge of the bolt of fabric, if you turn it over, on the bottom there will be a label. And it will tell you how wide this fabric is. So if I were to take it off the bolt, if I were to unwrap the bolt and stretch the fabric all the way out, unfold it so that it's completely laid out flat, you'll see that the fabric has a certain width. And there are average widths of fabric that's sold on bolts, and that is 45 and 60. So that's what those two measurements mean. So you'll simply pick the one that goes along with the fabric that you are purchasing, and then match up to your size. So you'll go, okay, well, I am a size 18 on this pattern. And if I want to make piece A, it's telling me I need 1 5/8 yards. And just like the measurements up here, these should be labeled, should, of course, in their unit of measurement. And since this is a United States pattern, it's labeled in yards. And if you go to other parts of the world and purchase the same pattern, it may be labeled in meters. But this will tell me that I need 1 5/8 yards to make piece A. Now, I may also choose to make these other pieces, and so I would simply add up the amount of fabric for each one that I would need. And then that's the total amount of fabric I would need to make this whole outfit. And then the last part here, at the bottom, these are the finished garment measurements. So once you've taken the pattern and you've laid it all on the fabric and you've cut all of the fabric out and assembled it all together, these are the finished measurements that that outfit is going to have. And that includes ease, basically the amount of extra fabric they add on so that you can wear the outfit comfortably and not have to worry about things pulling across your shoulders or bunching up in odd places or just being generally uncomfortable to wear. And you'll want to make sure that your body measurements, regardless of which size they fall in, your measurements should fall inside these measurements here, the finished measurements, because if they don't, you're going to have a lot of trouble wearing it comfortably. If you find that some of your measurements need to be bumped up here initially, based on the finished measurements, that's actually okay. but you'll want to take that into account before you buy your fabric, for one, and two, before you start cutting. Now you'll say, what is the other half of this? The other half of this on this particular envelope happens to be the exact same instructions and measurements in French. And a lot of patterns will have multiple languages on them. It may not always be English and French. Sometimes this may be Spanish. Sometimes it may be a different language. But basically it's just a repeat of everything. And the other thing that I wanted to show you that is not present on this pattern, there is even more to be seen on the flap. Yes, indeed, this has measurements on the flap. The difference, as you can see, this one is set up pretty much the same way. It's telling you, okay, here's the recommended fabric. Here are all the different notions or accessories you might need. So if you need to buy things like buttons or maybe some trim, that sort of thing, zippers, hooks, snaps, it'll tell you what you need here. Here's all the sizing. Here's the finished garment measurements. Here in the middle, they actually tell you how much of the different types of fabric that you need to make each of the pieces. Here's all the different pieces that you can make with it. And then colorized versions of that. But what I'm showing you here on the flap is that this one actually has the sizing measurements in centimeters as well. Here at the top, it has them in inches, and then underneath, it has them in centimeter. And one other thing that this particular envelope has that the Simplicity one does not is this one actually has a skill level listing. And you can see here, this is skill level intermediate. These do not have skill ratings on them. So it doesn't honestly matter what your sewing skill level is in terms of being able to purchase the patterns and use them. However, your rate of success may be a little bit more dependent, depending on the kind of costume, on how experienced you are at sewing. Because some pieces, a crossover shirt, may be a little more difficult than, say, a standard shirt or a shirt with a placket. Likewise, skirts are going to be fairly straightforward and simple, whereas a fitted vest with a collar is going to be a little bit harder because this one is going to take a little bit more of a tailoring technique, and you may have to do a little bit more fitting with parts of this pattern. So this one actually is probably also an intermediate, even though they don't necessarily tell you that. The entire line of New Look patterns is generally considered beginner to intermediate. There actually is a line of patterns that's called So Easy, and there's also ones that time clocks on them that say like 1 hour pattern. Those are generally considered very, very easy. And if you haven't ever sewn before, those are the ones that I'd recommend that you start with. And those will be very prominently labeled here in the title for you. It will tell you that it's easy and meant for beginners. But generally just lines of patterns like this, like New Look, Simplicity, McCall's, etc., they won't necessarily tell you what skill level is required. So you may have to jump into the pool a little bit and learn how to swim. But I will tell you that it is a ton of fun. Hopefully that helps, and now you'll be able to read pattern envelopes. And of course, in a future tutorial, we will be showing you how to read all of the fun stuff that comes inside an envelope.
Hopefully that was helpful to you guys. I do know that I did forget to mention briefly in the tutorial about notions. And that's simply because not every pattern envelope has them. So
yes.
I didn't necessarily remember to mention them. But if there are notions that are needed, things like zippers, snaps, grommets, hooks, that sort of thing, if they're needed to complete it, they'll tell you that on the envelope too.
Mm.
So if it doesn't say it on the envelope, generally you can assume it doesn't need them, which is a good thing. And you don't always have to follow the notions that come on the envelope. For example, if the pattern tells you, okay, well, you need snap tape to complete this particular costume and you feel like putting in a zipper, you can do a zipper.
Yeah.
Nothing stops you from putting in a zipper. They're just all suggestions by the manufacturer. They're recommendations, but mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to follow them.
Yeah, you can always make little adjustments so that way you have enough room mm-hmm. to put in the zipper, or you can switch up the type of buttons that you want to use. Like, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Or in the case that you just want to eliminate the notions entirely,
oh, yeah.
you can modify the pattern so that, you know, instead of a button-up shirt, you can have a pullover shirt.
I've done that many of times
that.
With blouses, as I've changed mm-hmm. the zipper into just a pullover.
Sometimes for cosplay, you need to do that because there's, you know, something in the design that says, I can't put a zipper here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't reasonably put what they want me to here, so I just need to modify it. That's cool. You do you, because that's the most important part. You have fun.
Exactly.
But that was the envelope reading tutorial. the next tutorial that I will do for you guys, which may or may not be next show. It depends.
It depends.
But speaking of reading instructions, the next one will be on reading the contents of the envelope, which are the instructions.
Which are a whole different ball game entirely. It's like you need to learn 20 different languages to figure out how to do all the pattern stuff.
Honestly, I generally don't have problems reading the pattern instructions. The only time I run into trouble is either if the picture's not clear,
yes,
and they're asking me to do something, say that the picture isn't quite showing.
I hate that.
So if it's, you know, basically out of frame, mm-hmm, as they might call it in film. But the other thing is if they use particular technique names that I haven't run across yet. So they'll tell you, okay, we'll do a reverse French seam. I have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go look it up in the sewing book to see what is this technique, because the patterns don't come with dictionaries. So whatever terms that they use and you don't happen to know what they mean, you have to go look them up because there's no glossary of terms at the end.
Yep.
Which, speaking of sewing manufacturers, although now there's pretty much only one.
There's only one.
If you're listening,
hey, McCall's,
if you would not mind constructive criticism, please include a glossary of terms in your pattern envelopes, at least specifically for sewing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're telling people, use this kind of seam, use this kind of stitch, use this kind of technique on the fabric, if it's specific to sewing, please define it. It would be very helpful, and we would appreciate it, because I actually ended up going to Half Price Books, and I bought a sewing dictionary.
Oh!
It's a little it's a miniature one.
That's cute!
Like this big.
Oh, I want one of those!
It's a pocket sewing dictionary.
Yeah!
Don't let me forget, next show, I will bring it out and show you guys my
little
sewing
dictionary. That would be cool!
But I bought one for that purpose. So that, you know, I can have it with my patterns, and whenever I need to pull it out, it's like, you know, 1,000 sewing dictionary terms or something. And I just look it up.
Oh.
And if it's not in there, I Google it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool to have.
It's very useful. I like Half Price Books because I can find some very unexpected,
mm-hmm,
treasures there when it comes to crafting, not just sewing, but just
crafting stuff in general.
Crafting in general. They have some really neat, like, how-to books.
Mm-hmm.
Or just reference books. In fact, I have one that's nothing more than how to clean fabrics.
Yeah.
I have an entire book on that. But that way, if I ever stain my cosplays, I know how to get it out.
You know how to take care of it.
Because maintaining cosplays is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
People, you'll spill things on your cosplay at cons, or people will spill things on you.
On you.
Or maybe, you know, the cosplay will end up getting stored with something that happens to leak on it. You know, who knows? There's all sorts of things that can happen with cosplay. Maybe the dye you used didn't set properly and it ended up running all over your costume. There's a book for that. It's a good housekeeping book, in fact, and it's awesome.
There's a book for everything.
If there's not, then there should be.
There should be. At this point, there should be. The number of ebooks that are out there, yeah.
Speaking of ebooks, I did want to bring to Potter's attention
the Humble Bundle?
Indeed.
Yes.
It is the 2022 Cosplayers Bookshelf, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a bundle of somewhere between 18 and 20 books. It's actually ongoing right now as we're recording this episode. It started a couple of days ago. So by the time you're listening to this, you'll still have about a week. If you wish to purchase it, there is a minimum amount if you want to purchase all of the books. It's $18. So it's about $1 a book, which, given what they have, is actually a really good bargain.
Right.
Now, it is a pay-what-you-want structure. So if you're okay only getting some of the books, then you can pay less than that. And if you want to pay more than that, you're certainly welcome to do that as well, because part of the cost that you're paying goes towards charity. And you can specify when you do the checkout how much goes to Humble Bundle, how much goes to the book authors, and then how much goes to charity. It gets split three ways, and you can change that however you want to. But they have some really solid books this time. Some of them are repeats. And that kind of generally happens every cosplay bookshelf, just because,
mm-hmm,
there are, you know, only so many books out right now about cosplay, so many ebooks. Because all of these are ebooks. you don't have to get the Kindle edition. They have PDFs if you want them, so you can like read them on your phone, you can read them on your tablet, whatever you want to do. You know, have it set up next to your cosplay table as you work. Perfectly fine. But they're all ebooks. So if you happen to purchase it and you've bought the other two that we've had recently, you'll notice there are some duplicates, but not all of them.
Yeah.
And I was very excited. Kamui has some of her patterns in there.
Yeah, she does. And there's also a nice little witch hat pattern in there, too. Looks like that it's going to run until May 11th or May 12th. So by the time you listen to this episode, you'll still have like a good week left that you could purchase them.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And I know it's not actually called Cosplayer's Bookshelf. I'm just calling it that because that's more or less what it is. They do call it the Cosplayer's Bookshelf. So I am pulling it up right now, and there are 40 items. I'm sorry, not 18 to 20. There are twice that many.
Yeah, there's a lot in this one, I think.
They have everything from makeup tips, footwear. Like I said, Kamui's patterns in here, including lower leg armor. There's helmets. I know there's hats. There's even a book in here about cosplay motivation, because periodically we lose motivation in making our cosplays.
Yeah, there's one even just on like hair braiding.
Yeah.
Sewing with the serger, like the perfect fit guide. Mm-hmm. There's a tailoring guide. Yeah, there's a lot
there's
in here.
There's one on molding and casting, as we were just discussing, you know, buying molds from Joann's. Now you can learn how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
There's even an entire book on how to use Cosplay Flex.
Yep.
There are so many different topics covered in here. And again, the minimum is $18, which is really reasonable because that's now about 50 cents a book or 50 cents per item because some of them aren't books.
And so many of these books, like at full price, we're talking like anywhere from 8 to 15.
Some of them are more.
Yeah.
Especially if the book comes in hardcover, then it usually ends up about 25.
Yeah. So this is a heck of a deal. Mm-hmm. It's worth investing into if you're interested.
I fully admit I bought a set for myself.
Of course.
me personally, not for the show. Speaking of, we are not sponsored by Humble Bundle at all.
No, it's just like a good deal.
I am a very avid, we're both avid users of Humble Bundle when they have these come out.
Mm-hmm.
So this made me very happy. Plus, they have one on ears and tails for cosplay.
Yeah.
Because I still have my Kirara cosplay on the docket and I have to make her ears, her cat ears. So that book will be very helpful. And the helmet one will be very helpful for Athena if I choose to make her helmet again. Oh, this makes me so happy.
Well, good.
Plus, I love it when, you know, we're able to support cosplayers like this.
Yeah.
Because some of these cosplayers, I didn't know that they had books out. And if I don't know that they have a book, I don't know to go buy it to be able to support them. Because not everybody has like a Patreon or something similar to that. So the only way you can support them if you're not going to conventions is to buy their merch, buy their books. So, you know, now that I'm looking at some of these, it's like, maybe you guys will hear interviews from them in the future. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
And some of them we've actually already interviewed and you can go back and listen to those in our archives. So I know Punished Props is one of them.
Yep. And so is Kamui.
And, mm-hmm. And both of them have books, several books.
Mm-hmm.
In this collection. Yes. Those were some of my favorite interviews, too.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I love talking shop with people.
Amber has a lot of energy today, which is great because it's balancing off of Val's no energy. She's making up for it.
All good. I will close Humble Bundle before I, you know, drool some more over it.
Right.
But again, by the time you guys are hearing this, you'll have several more days if you choose to purchase it. If not, that's perfectly okay too. Totally up to you. You know, we're not sponsoring this, nor are we sponsored by them. They're just really cool. But I wanted to make sure that I let you guys know that so that you have the choice if you want it. Because now that, you know, things are getting back to normal,
well,
and we're going back to conventions, which
we air quoted the hell out of that, by the way.
We did. Those who are going to Project Akon, I hope you have a lovely time. And for those who are not, well, this is an opportunity for you to keep working on cosplay, and having some really awesome cosplay books can help with that.
Or whatever convention that you're planning to go to next, because a lot of them are coming back.
Yeah, I happen that one was just
top of the mind.
Yeah, that one was coming up on the calendar because it's local to us. It's not the only local one, though.
No.
Indeed. And of course, we're still working on cosplay as much as we can, so I've already downloaded all my books. I have a special section in my storage unit where all of my books are very
of course you do.
Meticulously labeled.
Of course you do.
I still have to finish working with the Kamui patterns that I bought from the last one, too.
You'll get around to it.
It was more that I was intimidated about working on armor again, given some of my epic failures of armor in the past, and not having it work the way that I wanted it to, and still be comfortable enough to walk around in a convention and cosplay for 4, 6, 8 hours in a day. Because cosplaying for 8 hours a day is hard enough without armor.
It sounds
even
exhausting
if you're just comfy
now.
Clothes, it really does.
Yeah. I mean,
think about working an entire shift at work in cosplay.
That's no.
Basically what you're doing at a convention.
No, I'm good.
Some of us have done that on Halloween, by the way.
And those are the days where I usually work half day or don't show up at all because that's my day off.
Indeed. I have done that more than a few times in my life. Worked in Halloween costume.
And it's tiring every time. Well, do you have anything else that you want to cover, Amber?
Nope, I believe we are good.
Cool. Let's just wrap us up.
Indeed, we will call an end to this episode of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know maybe some helpful books that you've found that may inspire people to work on their cosplay, or if you'd like to let us know what might be some wonderful names that Nick Cage can give his new child coming up, congratulations to him, feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us, you know that all information is located underneath Amber. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. If you are listening to us, be sure to follow us on cospod.org or on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcasts or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcasts.
Or you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, where of course you will get an answer from each of us along with some select premium Nick Cage memes.
They are choice.
100%. 100% choice. Now they're all going to come with this stamp of approval on me.
I don't have time to make one, but maybe in one of my insomnia moments, I'll make a stamp of approval.
Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Keep working on those cosplays with or without the use of cosplay books, because we would all like to see your lovely and shining faces at our local convention in cosplay ASAP. We will see you guys next time in episode 254. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.